The following presentation is brought to you by the Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Nora Armani, founding artistic director of the Socially Relevant Film Festival, New York, which runs March 16th to 22nd. Stick around. Yep, this film festival has issues. Major issues. All right. Good. You're laughing. That's good.
That's a good way of putting it. Actually, that should be our slogan. We've got issues.
Next year.
Right. I'm going to write this down.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Daily Motion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of socially irrelevant filmmakers trying to put on a brave face in hopes of being reevaluated for next year's Socially Relevant Film Festival in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. There is a film festival these days for every topic under the sun, so why not one specializing in films perceived as having great social relevance? The second annual Socially Relevant Film Festival New York runs from March 16th to 22nd in Manhattan at Tribeca Cinemas, Maisel Cinema, and SVA, the School of Visual Arts. It will feature films from more than 30 countries, all connected by a common theme. Something is wrong in their society and needs fixing. All of these films can be expected to project a strong point of view, although it might be too much to expect their perspective on and view of a course correction will be anything like one another's. Now, among the issues tackled by this year's films will be gun control and police brutality, race relations and discrimination, violence against women and empowering women, LGBT rights, conflict in the Middle East, the environment and climate change, the U.S. economy and oil rush, and immigration and exile. Joining me to talk about this year's Socially Relevant Film Festival in New York is the event's founding artistic director, Nora Armani. Nora, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my first Skype interview, and I'm having a lot of fun already.
Good. Maybe we should quit now.
Yeah. But then the audience wouldn't have fun if we quit.
Nora, why does the world need a socially relevant film festival? I mean, does that mean that every other festival is socially irrelevant?
No, it's not the festivals that are relevant or irrelevant. It's the films themselves that are socially relevant or not. There are a lot of film festivals that program very interesting and very many socially relevant, what I call socially relevant films, but they are not necessarily specialized in that. We specialize because actually the idea of doing this festival came to me because of the proliferation of violence on our screens and the excessive use of, you know, violent forms of movie making is what I actually call it. It's not necessarily so much about how many guns we see on the screen or how many explosions and all that. It also has to do about the abrupt cuts, the loud music, the way of telling a story, which is kind of, it's like you're talking down to your audience instead of telling them a story, or trying to grab their attention by being even louder and yelling even more, which is completely the opposite effect that it produces. So that's basically what triggered the idea in me. And initially, I started it as an idea of anti-violence. That was the thing that was kind of triggering this in me, and also the fact that personally I had experienced something, a personal story of violence that took away very dear members of my family. Crime, every crime is a crime, but I wanted to do something to commemorate that after 10 years passed from that fateful day. And I thought, what can I do? And because my cousin, who was the victim of one of these crimes, an actress, producer, and filmmaker herself, I felt, wow, that would be the best thing I can do, to do a film festival dedicated to nonviolence. But then I didn't want to make it so narrow, so I opened it up to include social issues. So that's basically how the whole thing came about.
And so, I mean, I think when people hear socially relevant, they probably think, oh, it must be nothing but documentaries.
Mm. That's a great question you asked, because not at all. I used to give an example. For example, there's so many wonderful socially relevant films. The Oscar-winning Birdman, who can say that it's not socially relevant? A couple of years ago, we had The Silver Linings Playbook, which is totally socially relevant. These are big Hollywood, big budget movies, and they are very socially relevant. Our festival has shorts, documentaries, as well as features. When I say features, we have narrative features and documentary features. And as long as the topic or the approach is socially relevant and it covers a problem or social issue, then the film is in, provided, of course, that its cinematographic values and production values are all good and in place. We will not favor the theme over the shaky camera. And I mean, shaky camera is fine, but amateurish filmmaking.
I understand. Well, would you ever think about having a Hollywood film itself as part of the festival? I mean, you mentioned Birdman and Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, would something like that help to draw attention to the festival?
Would. The only problem with dealing with big Hollywood films or even films that are already being distributed by distributors is that most of the distributors have particular plans and an agenda and an idea about what they want to do with the film. And not always it kind of coincides with a festival like ours. And also, mind you, this is our only our second year. So I don't know, maybe in a couple of years from now, it would generate enough interest so that a Hollywood producer would say, wow, this is the festival where I want to premiere my movie. And I would go, wow, this is a fantastic partnership.
And I'm sorry. Well, how is this year's festival different from the first year?
The first year had that first year magic, you know, like when you fall in love for the first time, it's the first ever and so on. And of course, the second year creates a little bit of a challenge and a little bit of a nervousness, because you're saying to yourself, wow, we did it the first time around. Am I going to be able to top that or even match myself? Forget about topping it. And also, but I'm a strong believer in coincidences. I'm a strong believer in the universe responding when you throw something out there and all those things. And I think the way things worked out this year is because last year we were only at the Quad Cinema. We had one venue. It was a fantastic venue. We had a great inaugural edition. But this year we didn't have the Quad because they are undergoing major renovations and it wasn't going to be ready for our festival. Or at least that's what we thought. Now it's still ready, but it's too late because we already made arrangements. But what that gave us is the possibility of going to more town at the Maisel Cinema in Harlem. We are at Tribeca Cinemas downtown. We are at the School of Visual Arts, where we had already partnered since last year for a academic partnership, and we are having our industry panels there. And we also have a session at the Quad Cinema, even so. So it's wonderful to be able to do that. And we have an additional panel. It's the closing panel at the Center for Remembering and Sharing, which is on 4th Avenue near Union Square. So kind of what happened is that out of the circumstance, something came up which ended up being better, meaning we dispersed ourselves over different neighborhoods and different groups of people.
And what did you actually learn as the director of the festival? What did you learn from the first year that you've applied to the second year?
Wow. I learned to trust your instincts. That's the most important thing I learned. That sometimes you fall in love with a film and you think, wow, I love this movie. It has everything it goes for. And then you start reasoning with yourself and you go, no, but I think if I program that other one instead, it has more of a draw because the so-and-so is going to come and talk, because such-and-such is going to happen. And then the instinct is you start reasoning with your instinct. But I think you should stop doing that. I mean, I personally, I'm telling myself to not reason with my instinct, but to go with the first love. And of course, it's not just random or haphazard. You're also making an educated guess. But the instinct is very, very important.
Imagine no matter what you choose, someone's feelings are going to get hurt and you're going to have to deal with that, right?
And first of all, our own, because, you know, we had about close to 500 submissions this year, which doubled from last year exactly. And I felt, my God, there are so many wonderful films that I would like to show, but I don't have unlimited means. I don't have unlimited screens at my disposal. So I have to draw the line somewhere, and some films are going to be left out. So unfortunately, that's the case. And we had to say bye-bye to some. And but I don't think people understand that. People understand film. Makers understand. They might not be thrilled that they didn't get picked up, but they understand our prerogative, I hope.
I hope so too. Well, so are there any are there a couple of films in this year's festival you'd like to highlight to draw people's attention to?
Yes, actually, we have beautiful feature films. We don't have that many narrative features. We do have a few that are very powerful. We have a film from France, which is called We Will Live Somewhere Else. And it's about an African immigrant from, it doesn't say in the movie which African country. It's kind of an indistinct African country. And he kind of passes the Mediterranean on one of those rafts or, you know, immigrant boats and gets to France. And of course, immediately he is held and he goes to a judgment, and the judge says, I have to deport you because that's the instructions we have. But she asks him, she says, do you have something to add? And then he starts to make such a quotes wonderful names from French literature, and he makes such an educated speech that the judge doesn't know what to do. She says, I mean, how can you deport somebody like this? And then she decides to give him an extension. But of course, I'm not going to tell you the spoiler on that. So that's a favorite. Then we have a film that is called Send in the Clowns. That's also a very beautiful piece. It's about a group of international clowns that go to disaster zones. In this particular case, they go to Haiti after the earthquake, and they try. And at some point, the man says, we don't bring you water or bread or clothing or anything like that, but what we are bringing you is way up there in terms of priorities, because it's, you can see in the movie how the children are having. And another favorite of mine is Cotton Road, which, contrary to Silk Road, it's tracing the journey of cotton that is grown in the United States and then is put into containers, is shipped all the way to China. And in China, it gets into the clothing industry and how it creates the clothes that we now wear. And it's a fabulous story, but it's not, besides being a wonderful story, it's visually stunning. You see all those factories and the people and the way the cotton is collected and packaged and everything. And, oh, yeah, there is Gaucho del Norte. Oh, my God, I love them all. Gaucho del Norte is about a Patagonian shepherder who crosses the border and comes to America to herd sheep. And we see him at lengths of day, all alone in the middle of the wilderness, just him and his sheep, and day after day. And also it delves into the psychology of this man and what he is going through by being all alone in the middle of nature and taking care of these sheep. So these are some of the features. We have some political films. We have Guy Davidi's new film. He is the filmmaker that made Five Broken Cameras, the Palestinian filmmaker. We have a Palestinian documentary on Palestinian cinema, like all the filmmakers with clips from their films. We have a beautiful Israeli film, which is called Nero and Flicka. It's about this man who lives alone in the wilderness with just his donkey. And it's a character. And he sings with his oud in Jerusalem at the marketplace, but then comes back and takes care of the donkey and the fields. And that's how he lives. So it gives you at the same time, for me personally, working on this festival, as well as my team, I think I'm not mistaken if I speak on their behalf, it has been an incredibly huge learning experience. Because as we are selecting these films and looking at them, we are the first people who are affected by the message they have, or the learning experience that we live by finding out about different cultures, about different people, their issues, their problems. But for me, the most important thing to remember is that even though we're talking about a lot of problems and issues, we have to remember the uplifting and the positive aspect of things, that there is always light at the other end of the tunnel. And it's not about a terrible world that is no hope and we should all go kill ourselves or something, you know?
I'm glad to hear that. what does the festival look for in an accepted film? I mean, to give, obviously it's too late for this year for entries, but
yes.
If a filmmaker should see this and is thinking about next year, what are you looking for in terms of subject material, quality of the actual, you know, film, length of film? You do shorts as well,
yes,
as features.
We do shorts. We specify that the shorts should be less under 30 minutes, even though we do have a couple of films that fall in between, like between 30 minutes and 52 or 55 minutes, which is where the documentary length starts. But then we take those as per case issue. And then if some filmmaker writes to us and says, I have this film, it's 40 minutes, what do I do? We tell him, send it and we'll tell you. And then we will either include it in the documentary shorts or we will advise him to try to cut it or not to submit or something like that. We don't edit the films for them, of course. That's out of the question. But the shorts are under 30 minutes. The documentaries are 50 or 55 minutes, or basically an hour, roughly, and above. And the feature-length films that are narratives are over 70 minutes. And we also have script writing competition. And we have already chosen our five finalists. And I must say that Pulitzer Award-winning scriptwriter and playwright Robert Schenken is one of our jury members for the script writing. He has already turned in his results, and I'm waiting for the others. We have great awards for the filmmakers as well as for the scriptwriters. For the scriptwriters, we have final draft certificates with which they can download the latest software. We are partners with a website called Inktip, where scriptwriters can post their scripts free of charge, which allows them to be discovered by a producer who's looking for scripts of that kind. As far as the documentary prize goes, it is a distribution of DVD and VOD offered by Cinema Libre Studio of Los Angeles, our partner since last year already. And for the narrative feature, we have a consultation from the Candy Factory as to how best to package the film, the P&L, print and ad, P&A, and what are the strategies concerning Los Angeles, concerning New York, and so on and so forth. And they will follow the film until it gets distribution. If they like it, they retain first look.
Got it.
So they might take it on and distribute it themselves.
All right.
And the shorts get distribution on the other platform, which we have as a partner, IndiePix. And there we can, we used to have another wonderful award. Unfortunately, because of the closure of the Quad Cinema, we cannot offer it this year. It's the 1 week release of the winning documentary. We're still working towards that, and of the winning narrative, I must say. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's not the documentary. The documentary is the distribution. The winning narrative might still get a week long release, but we cannot guarantee that, unfortunately, this year.
Sure. All right. Well, folks, listen, you can be a part of the 2015 Socially Relevant Film Festival in New York by visiting the event's website, which is www.ratedsrfilms.org. That's RATEDSRFILMS.org, O-R-G, for schedule and ticketing information. Does the festival have a Twitter or Facebook account?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are on Twitter. We use Twitter a lot. If you will mention us on Twitter, we will definitely retweet you. And we tell that to our filmmakers as well, because there is so much a festival can do. We are dealing with 53 films. One advice that I have for any filmmaker, not just the ones who come to our festival, you have to be proactive, because a festival can do so much. They can program your film, give it a great screening. They have a publicist, but the publicist cannot... The festival cannot hire 54 or 53 or however many publicists, one for each film. They have to just promote the festival as a whole. But you as a filmmaker can do a little bit more, and we are more than happy to double that effort and retweet. As far as the new submissions are concerned, they will be opening middle of May. We are opening early this year because we want to start viewing the films as they come in, so that not to be, you know, bombarded with an avalanche of films towards the end. And even though we have to watch everything, so in the end it gets really crazy. So
very good. Well, yeah. Nora Armani, it's a pleasure to meet you. Good luck with this year's festival. And thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to have done this interview. And we have a lot of surprises, I must say, that we didn't talk about. Surprise guests, industry panels, hors d'oeuvres and drinks before and after the shows. We have a media hub, and you're more than welcome to join us on the red carpet. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. We got it.
Yay.
The good news is... the video got better towards the end. It you'll see when you see it that it's the quality wasn't so good there in the middle, but the beginning and the end were very good quality video.
Oh, okay.
The in between, I don't know, the sound was still kind of rough. What are you going to do?
Yeah, we're dealing with technology and we don't have a control over it. But
sometimes the bubble gum and the aluminum foil holding Skype together do not do their job very well. Yeah, yeah. Well, I very much appreciate your time. I hope you'll tell Linda and Susan I said hello.
Yeah, thank you so much.
My pleasure, and good luck. Maybe we'll get you back here again next year. Talk about another year.
Yeah, I would love to. It would be great. Then we can do that follow-up and the first year, second year, third year. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey, honestly speaking. I didn't want to dwell on all the details because it doesn't interest other people probably. But for me personally, it's been a huge learning experience.
Oh, I bet. I can't imagine doing a festival like this in Manhattan, of all places. I mean, it's...
Right. Well, I had done film programs with different institutions like AFI in London, ICA, and ICA, Institute of Contemporary Art, and the French Institute, and so on and so forth. But it would always be as a guest curator doing a special program under a major institution. But this one, it's like I'm going out on a limb just by myself and these films and trying to create something from scratch. But I think people become responsive when they see that you're so enthusiastic and you're doing something worthwhile. And I guess they want to be part of it. So hopefully we will continue to attract good vibes. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry and some make me sad and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, their reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
And what you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.